Even the smallest act of kindness is never wasted, but can we move from the occasional kind act to actually becoming kind? Hello, I'm Brian Patrick. Welcome to Crossing the Goal, where we tackle tough issues men might think about but don't talk about very much. We're continuing our series on the godly man, and being kind is our topic this time on Crossing the Goal. We are kicking off our show on being kind as the Godly Man series continues here on Crossing the Goal. Here's our Crossing the Goal team. Peter Herbeck of Renewal Ministries, the founder and president of Focus, Fellowship of Catholic University Students, is Curtis Martin. And our coach is the all-pro wide receiver and former NFL coach, Danny Abramowitz. Danny, when someone's kind to us, it makes us feel good, and sometimes it catches us off guard.
Right. You know, when we become kind to someone, it goes a long way. It makes people feel good. But you know, people are shocked sometimes when you are so kind to them. They don't know how to react. They're almost totally blown away by it.
Yeah, it's a little bit shocking because you think when somebody reaches out to you like that, when you're in need, that they have something up their sleeve. They're looking for something more. They're not just giving it away, you know, giving themselves away for you.
It's important that we really focus on this because Christians are going to be scrutinized in a way that maybe we haven't been in quite some time as the culture becomes more and more hostile. And we've got to show people the difference between the world and Christianity. Yes, we do disagree with a number of things in our culture, but we love the people we disagree with. And the way that we prove that is through our kindness.
And, you know, we got to be careful to we don't scrutinize and say, okay, we're going to be kind to this person because they are a higher standard and I'm not going to be kind. We categorize people.
That's where we have to get the Lord's heart. That's part of what we're going to be talking about today and what the, you know, kindness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus produces his own heart in us that doesn't discriminate based on, hey, if I help that person, there's an advantage there for me.
Kindness
is about caring for somebody without looking for your own advantage.
I wonder why you guys were being so kind in your hair lately. You saw the checkbook. You saw the checkbook.
All right, guys, but we need a game plan to become kind men. And Peter and Curtis have that for us right after this quick timeout.
The godly man is kind, and our topic today is kindness. Peter, when we break down that word kindness, what exactly are we talking about?
It's simple. It's helpfulness towards someone in need. I reach out to somebody. I see someone's need. I reach out to no personal advantage. I'm simply responding for their good.
That's awesome. I mean, it's important for us to recognize that, as we discussed in our first session when we talked about patience, when St. Paul describes love, the most important of all the virtues, the most important thing in life, God is love, he describes it with these two words: love is patient, love is kind.
Kindness is a concrete expression of what love is. And what blows my mind as I've been thinking about this, that God is kind. I was thinking about how it begins with God. It's what the Lord is working in each of us is to produce in us the life of Christ, the fruits of the Spirit. And part of Jesus' fundamental character is kindness, and kindness to those in need. I was thinking about Paul here in Titus chapter 3. He talks about the transformation that went on in his own life. He says, "For we ourselves were once foolish, we were disobedient, we were led astray, we were slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hating men and hating one another." That's his description of what the life of these brothers and sisters, what they were like before they met the Lord. Then he went on to say, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. He changed us." What changes us and what makes it possible for us to live differently, to not only just do an occasional random act of kindness, but actually have our character changed and formed in kindness, is the grace of God. God has come to do something in us and given us a power, the power of the Spirit of God, to produce Jesus' character in us.
And we see Jesus responding to this. I mean, there's a passage in the scriptures in Mark chapter 14 where Jesus is at table and a woman comes and she washes his feet with her tears. and anoints his feet with oil. And they start to stop her, and he says, no, no, she has done something beautiful for me. And wherever my gospel is preached, this story will be recounted. It's such a huge impact on his life that he enshrines that act of kindness and this wonderful woman's act of kindness into the gospel as it's presented throughout the centuries.
Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you're going to have to lay down your life. You say, well, what is it going to look like? Laying down my life. What do I have to do? This is precisely what he points to. He tells the story of the Good Samaritan in the Gospels that pretty much everybody has heard already. I have to be willing to respond to those around me that I see in genuine need and not to my advantage. Now, it's easy for us sometimes to respond to people who, if I respond to this guy and his need, it's going to redound for lots of bennies for me in the long run. But Jesus is saying, no, I see the dignity of the human person and I respond to that person's need out of love.
And those who follow our Lord are supposed to do the same thing. This is what St. Paul says to Timothy, one of his disciples, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. He says, the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to all, able to teach, and patient when wronged. And he goes on to say that because of that kindness, they may be open and ready to receive God's grace. Our role is to be kind and not close people off to God's work. God's finally the one who's going to work on their hearts and lead them to change.
One of the most effective ways I think we can be kind to one another is our speech. Often we're unkind through our speech, but the scripture says, the proverb says that a kind word cheers the heart. Mm-hmm. Again, you don't even have to go out and do something. You just recognize that someone's discouraged, someone's down, someone's having a hard time, a brother or sister, and I speak a kind word that gives life.
That was really well said. Yeah. But I want to go on and say, I want to go on and talk about how kindness relates to hope, though. That this is something that we should all have hope in. If somebody walked up and said, "Hey, Peter, you're going to probably win an Olympic gold medal," that's probably not going to happen.
What do you mean?
But we won't go there right now. But if we were to say, "Peter, you can grow in kindness," there's a real sense that with labor on your side and a response to God's grace, which is even more important, you and I and all of us can grow in the virtues, to have a sense of growth and kindness.
Absolutely.
That's a powerful gift.
It is powerful, and it comes right out of our relationship with Christ. And it's the church isn't saying, and the scripture is not exhorting us to say, okay, go be kind, work it out on your own, be like Avis, just try harder to be kind. A lot of us look in the mirror and say, you know what, I'm not a very patient guy. I'm not a very kind person. I don't think about other person's needs very much. And it seems like it'd be easier for me to get a gold medal than it would be for me to really have a kind heart to those around me who are in need. Well, the great news is that Christ has given us the power. And what he wants us to do is to walk with him more closely, yield to the grace of the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit, say, I want that heart. I don't have it. I want it, Lord. And if we pursue it, he'll give it to us.
No, and we need to see the power of good friends, because when we are surrounded by people who are also growing in kindness, everything just becomes better. Kindness tends to tenderize other people's hearts. Yeah. And we can take people who are hardened, and by showing kindness, we change their perspective. I was with one of our guys at the Focus staff who was on a mission trip in India, and they found a young girl who had been wounded and injured, and no one was caring for her. And as they started to care for her, an entire community of people started to gather around. And this little girl, in a certain sense, his statement was, I felt as though it was the first time that she'd ever really experienced love in her life. And it was just, it started with one act of kindness and grew into a whole response of kindness. We can do that for one another.
And we bring the presence of God when we do it. God is merciful. God is kind. God is slow to anger. God is abounding in steadfast love. The Lord wants you and I to incarnate his character in the world so that people can be drawn to him.
And look at the way his kindness responds. I mean, if of all the people who could frustrate people, we can frustrate the Lord. No matter what you do to me, you're never going to offend me as badly as I've already offended the Lord. Yeah. And yet sometimes we get hung up, well, he doesn't deserve it or she doesn't deserve it. But in reality, we don't deserve it. And yet God still chose to exercise kindness upon us and then asked us to do the same. What a powerful, powerful tool that is.
And it's a great place to start in terms of reflection to say, the goodness and loving kindness of God has come to me. And to understand what that means. What has God done for me? And as I begin to grasp, and the Holy Spirit shows what God has done for me to save me from sin and to lead me to himself, my heart's going to be tenderized, as you said, and be more open to loving and serving others.
And we as men need to lead the way here. We tend to be hard-headed and
hard-hearted.
Yes, exactly. And we need to be able to sit back and say, God, this is a change you're asking of me. Yeah. And as we do that, we begin to really learn what it means to be a godly man. Amen. Brian?
Thanks, Curtis and Peter. A solid game plan for kindness, Coach. I imagine you didn't encounter a whole lot of kindness in the red zone in the NFL.
You can see the lack of kindness. Look at these store-bought teeth.
Well, it's a little kinder in our red zone here on Crossing the Goal. We're there when we come back right after this short timeout. Here we are in the red zone on Crossing the Goal, talking about kindness as part of our Godly Man series. And Peter, you never know what a random act of kindness to a stranger can bring.
Yeah, I think there's a passage in Scripture that talks about you might be entertaining angels. You never quite know. And I always feel like every act of kindness, that is any act of genuine love done for another, is going to echo into eternity. You know, it's
a beautiful picture.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
And it don't have to wait till eternity. Let me give you an example of what happened. Because a lot of times we think, a kind act, we don't get rewarded for it. But sometimes we do get rewarded for it, and we don't even realize it. Let me tell you a story. My wife and I were going to a Bible study, and it was right around Christmas time. It was cold and stuff like that, and we were running a little late. She was always late. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. But anyway, we get out of the car. We was downtown in New Orleans. And, you know, I just saw, here comes this homeless guy. I saw, oh, man, you know. So he comes up to me, can you help me? And I go in my wallet, and the smallest bill I happened to have, I think it was the only one, was a 20. And something came on me, just give it and just go on about your business. So I gave him the 20, and I start walking away, and the man says, the Lord's going to double bless you. I took a few steps because it didn't hit me right, and I turned around, there was no one there. So we went to the Bible study, and then about 2 or 3 days later, a phone call comes from my boss, Joe Cannizzaro, and he says, my wife and I was talking about this, and we want to double your salary.
Really? Within three days?
It blew me away. I mean, the furthest thing from my mind, I didn't do that, and like I'm the great kind guy all the time, but it was a kind act for that moment.
Right.
I just do it. And then when he said that, you know, you don't even think about it. And I didn't expect to get anything back.
Right.
But it comes back, I think.
You cannot outdo God in generosity, can you?
You cannot.
You really can.
It's great to be around my wife. I had a similar situation. I was standing in line at an airport with my wife, and the ticket agent was grumpy. And I'm thinking, you know, we pay a fair amount of money for airline tickets. You don't have to put up with grumpiness. This is wrong. And I start to mumble to my wife, you see that woman up there? I bet you we get her. And my wife, who was just wonderful, unlike myself, says, oh, she's having a tough day. When we get up there, let's make sure we're extra nice to her. And I'm thinking, you're no fun to travel with.
So
we get up to the front. Sure enough, we get that gal. And my wife, first things out of her mouth is, wow, that's a really long line. And there's just only two of you. She goes, oh, yeah, somebody called in sick. It's been a terrible day. And she goes, oh, I'm so sorry. Thanks for being here. And just really was very kind to her. And you could see this woman just kind of lighten as the conversation went on. So we got our tickets, went to the gate. We're sitting there, and about 20 minutes later, the gal walks up and says, by the way, she taps my wife on the knee, I bumped you all to first class.
Whoa.
Not bad,
But you,
I would have been back in the luggage room.
That's right. That's right. You would have got on the plane, man, if it went your way.
A valuable lesson from your wife, huh?
You know, you mentioned something in the game plan that's struck me and made me start reflecting a little bit about our words.
Yeah.
They can be words of kindness. Yeah. Or unkindness, and they can have impact on us much stronger
big time.
Big time.
Yeah.
I mean, for years, another story I can relate to, I was in the fifth grade at St. Peter's back in Steubenville, Ohio, and sister called on me to do a math problem, and I go up, you know how fifth graders are, where we go up there and the guys are all making fun of me, and hey, there's something on your nose, I was looking around. And I mean, I just went blank at the board. And the more I was trying to figure the problem out, and them guys laughing, the worse it got. You know, it got terrible. And they were like laughing loud, and I sort of got smirky and did a little laugh. And she says, you're dumb. Wow. I mean, she could have paddled me Yeah. And when here I am, I'm 64 years old, still thinking about it. So we have to be careful out there and choose the words, and because from our heart sometimes the words flow. We have to be very careful what we say, especially to young people.
I mean, scripture says life and death are in the power of the tongue. Mm-hmm. Think about that. You're saying you're 64 years old and you remember that experience. You know, a kind word cheers the heart. Scripture says, say only the things that men need to hear, that will build them up, what will encourage them, what will strengthen them. Think about how many times in the home, for guys, how challenging it is to speak kindly to your wife, speak kindly to your children, speak kindly about them.
About them, yeah.
Yeah, kindly about them, and how easy it is. Yeah, you're stupid, she's so this, he's so that. You know, it's easy to be negative. And you ask the question, why is it so easy to be negative? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Exactly.
If you're listening to the show today, and you say, you know what, I'm that way a lot. I speak negatively about my kids, my family, or whatever, my boss. You say, step back a minute. You think it's them. Step back and look into your own heart. Because out of the abundance of your heart, you're speaking. And the reason we're taking this topic today is Jesus is saying, I want to give you my Holy Spirit to change your heart. You need a new heart to be just like me.
St. Francis of Assisi was walking down the road with one of his brothers one day, and somebody attacked him and called him a crazy man. St. Francis just responded in kindness, and his brother said, how did you do that? He said, it's all I had to give.
Right.
Yeah, and that's the whole part. What's going on the inside? Because if you are able to dump crud on people you love, you had something in there that was cruddy.
Yeah.
And it's just an indication, a barometer of what's going on in our heart.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't lose hope over that, but rather be inspired to change.
Yes. Do you guys think, though, that we can act ourselves into kinder thinking just by small acts of kindness, practice kindness to become more kind, so that then what is in our hearts is much better?
I think you need to be aware of it, especially, Brian, with guys out here, dads, that with boys and girls too, but you say, son, good job, man. You know, go athletic event, dad's proud of you.
Thanks, boss.
You know, they really light up. Or honey, you grab your daughter and give her a hug. I was so proud of you. You look so beautiful. Those kind words go 1,000 miles with, I mean, you don't realize the impact. To me, I can remember just my dad saying, well done, son, I'm proud of you. I mean, I'd go through the wall for him.
It might be one of the greatest senses of sadness we may have when everything's said and done, to look back at our life and see all the good we could have done with kind words and failed to do because we just weren't thoughtful enough to pull it off. We could move our children, our loved ones, our coworkers in such a different direction if we were encouraging and exercising kindness in our speech and in our actions.
Yeah. Brian makes a good point, too, related to that begin with little baby steps,
acts of
kindness.
Right, right.
You may not feel it, but you know the scripture commands us
to
do it. Yep. And so you don't wait till you feel it. Do it. Where if you see someone in need, someone's there, the Lord probably put them in front of your path, step out and do what's needed to help them.
And if I think about all of us, think about it in our life, how the Lord has been kind to us over the years. Look at the acts. I mean, I go back and start taking inventory on my life.
Yeah.
And then look at the times that the Lord has been kind to me and allowed things to happen in my life where I didn't deserve it. It's not like I deserved it, that His kindness. And I think by reflecting on that some in our life, looking at the things, the positive things and the acts of kindness that happens in your life will help you in dealing with it in your life.
It's a fight. I mean, we've got to, training a culture to look out for number one.
Right.
Yeah.
And to be concerned about my advantage, not his advantage, because the world's a big competition. It's about getting ahead, and there's only so many things that we can acquire, and he's competition for me, you know what I mean, and in life. And we think about ourselves that way. One of the reasons why we don't instinctively act in kindness enough, I think, is because we're so shaped by that in our culture. We're preoccupied with our own need, and we don't see the need of the other as much. Or sometimes it might even be a threat. I don't want to give my money or my time or whatever. I got to protect it.
The cool thing about kindness, too, is it's an attribute of love, so it doesn't diminish as you give it away. It grows the more kindness you show.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. And any relationship we have with another person, you're a broken man, I'm a broken man. In a relationship, we are going to bump into one another. And kindness is kind of like a bumper guard. Mm-hmm. And then you add to that, it's not just the two of us, it's the four of us. That's a lot of bumping that can go on.
Right.
And so acts of kindness just become a tremendous tool. And the spirit of kindness becomes a tremendous tool in allowing charity to pervade and overcome anger, frustration, and hatred.
Yeah. Let me run something by you guys, ask you, don't you think a lot of times, especially with men, kindness is a sign of weakness.
Yeah.
You know, in their life, I think guys would say, you know, if I'm kind, they're going to take advantage of me, or it shows that I am weak. Yeah. You guys see that?
Sure.
Yeah, it actually takes more strength to be kind.
Yeah, I think so.
But you see that Jesus's character, who Jesus is shocking to the world. Jesus is meek. Jesus is humble. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus said, look, I'm coming to show you what a real man is. I mean, that's the point of this whole series, the Godly Man series. Jesus, we want to point to Jesus and say, that's what a man looks like, because it's up for grabs these days what a man looks like. What is he? You know, a man is aggressive, he's violent, he's loud, he's, you know, intensely sexual. All these kinds of things is what a man is supposed to be, right? The ideal man, he's rich, he's powerful. And Jesus said, no, no, no. If you want to go all the way, if you want to go all the way to the kingdom, if you want to really know what a man is, look at me.
And guys like to be loved and admired by women. Guys, if you want women to admire you, be kind.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I think it is a great sense just to sit in a quiet room and just, it might be a church, but a quiet space, you and God, and just look at the person of Christ and say, do I admire who you are? Because the world has asked us to admire something very, very different.
Great question.
And who could be admired more than Jesus Christ? I mean, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. That's an excellent question and a great meditation. And that's why Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you got to come and die. You got to come and die to all that drive that the world tells you you got to have as a man, to be aggressive, me first, always win at all costs. So.
And then you start looking at things, who emulates kindness, who can we take the example from in our life?
You guys get the last word on kindness. We're going into the end zone next. We'll also take a look at our email bag right after this quick timeout.
We're in the end zone on Crossing the Goal. First, we'll look at our email bag from Spokane. Lane writes, I fell away from the church and didn't go to confession for 10 years. Watching Crossing the Goal inspired me to get back into communion with the church, and the first step was to go to confession. The priest really helped me. Would it be inappropriate to thank him when I go back to confession this week?
That's the whole reason we do the Crossing the Goal show. And as far as thanking your priest, I think that's very appropriate. Just go in and say, hey, Father, I just came back to confession after many years, and I just want to thank you for your help and love and kindness.
Also, a question from Dublin, Ireland, guys. Andrew writes, thank you for the great show. I watch it in Ireland and it is truly a great blessing. As a sports fan, it really meets me where I am. So I thank you very much. He says, my question is, should the Catholic Church put greater emphasis on Scripture?
Well, that's a great question. And I would say absolutely. And they can't. They absolutely should on our lived experience. And at the same time, if you actually read what the church says, she really can't. She says things like, the church forcefully and specifically exhorts all Christians to come to the Scriptures. She says, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. Yeah. But on a day-to-day level, we can learn more.
It's one of those things that's on the books, and it's crystal clear that the church teaches that. I remember just 18 months, 2 years ago, Pope Benedict XVI said that he believed that the secret to a new spiritual springtime for the church is the daily reading of the Word of God by every single baptized Catholic. He said, why? Because Jesus is living in this Word, and it's a living Word where Jesus speaks to us about Himself, and He says, if we get that close to Him, He said, if we chew on it, chew on that Word and draw out all the sap, He said, it will transform our hearts and we'll see renewal in our church.
That's why we need to take the church seriously and read the Scriptures.
All right, Peter, let's get the last word from you on kindness.
Yeah, very simply, I just want to exhort each and every one of you brothers listening today. We've been talking about fruits of the Spirit and taking on the character of Jesus Christ, patience and kindness. Today, this week, I'd like to ask you, give the Lord permission. Take some quiet time and say, Jesus, I hear you. I give you permission to form my heart according to your character.
Powerful. You know, there's going to be a day when we're going to need the Lord's kindness. And really, we've been told how to obtain that. Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, He says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, it'll pour into your lap. For by the standard with which you measure, it will be measured back to you. When we show kindness, we give God the measure we want Him to measure us by.
Many men think to be kind is to be weak. That's a lie. To be kind is the strength of a godly man.
You heard it from the coach. And Curtis and Peter, thanks, guys. Be sure to join us next time for Crossing the Goal as we continue our Godly Man series. Next time, we'll try to be humble. We'll see you then.
71's too.
A good, Bill.
Threes into the short side like that.
I can get this guy on turnout, Snap. Turnout in the short side. Let's do it in the short side. Turnouts into the short side, Bill.
Okay, Danny, run 74 turnout on the short side.